So we're going to read just the first few verses of the high priestly prayer. We're going to read John 17, verses 1 through 5. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed." Let's pray. Our Father, we so often fail to pray for your glory, to seek to see how it is that our lives and what you have given us to do might bring you glory. And yet this is to be the focus of who we are, why we are here. So teach us to pray this way. Order our hearts and our desires so that they are ordered towards your glory. Open up your word to us this evening to show us how it is that we should pray, seeking your honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The heart of prayer. Jesus begins his prayer prior to his betrayal this way: "Father, glorify me so I may glorify you." Jesus knows that his time for his earthly mission is drawing to a close, and that the Father will glorify him following his crucifixion, in his resurrection, in his ascension, and in his session in heaven. And he asks that through all of this, through everything that is about to happen, including his betrayal, his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, that he would give glory to God. Jesus' prayer is that everything he has done, even in receiving his own glorification on the other side of his crucifixion, that through everything that he has done, that he would glorify his Father. How often, and maybe this is just me, how often do we pray that God would be glorified? Not just in some abstract sense, but that God would be glorified through me. That who I am, that what I do, that the decisions that I make would bring glory to God the Father. It's the first request of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be holy. May you be glorified. I wonder how it would affect the nature of our prayers and the things that we pray for and the decisions that we ultimately make in life if we were to make it a habit to begin our prayers praying, "Father, let me glorify you." Because often we come to God in prayer skipping the adoration of him that's right here at the beginning of Jesus' prayer, that whatever else happens and however you may glorify me and what's about to come, may it glorify you. May that be the ultimate end, the ultimate goal of each thing that happens. Often we skip all that and we rush right to the things that we're eager to pray to God about. right? We jump right into our wish list and to our worry list and to the people that we know who are sick or hurting. And of course, we're supposed to pray for all of those things. But how might it change the shape of our prayers, the things that we actually want, the things that we bring to God, hoping that they will come to be? How would those change if we begin praying that God would be glorified in what ends up happening and in the things that we pray for? And that's sometimes less complicated than we make it out to be. We often get the impression that, or we've been told somewhere along the way, that if we're going to glorify God with our lives, that requires us to do something spectacular, right? Something world-changing, something with a significant wow factor, something that will hold people's attention when you get up to give your testimony somewhere. And yet, when the Apostle Paul is writing his letter to the church in Thessalonica, the Christians in Thessalonica, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is one of the instructions that Paul gives to the Christians there. 1 Thessalonians 4, we're going to read verses 9 through 12. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Now, Paul urges the Thessalonian Christians to strive for a quiet life, minding their own affairs and working hard. This is the question. Is he urging them not to glorify God in their lives? Is that what he's giving to them? Is he working against this prayer of Jesus? Now, sometimes in the way we speak about glorifying God in our lives, that glorifying God requires something big, something spectacular, something world-changing. We might come to think this, but it's quite the contrary. It is wonderful when Christians take risks and God uses them in spectacular and unusual ways. Praise God for such people. But it is equally glorifying to God when Christians live quiet lives of hard work and love Him and their neighbors. I once had a Christian friend. I mean, he's still my friend, but we once had a conversation about, we were much younger. We were probably 19 or 20 at the time. And you know, we were talking about what we were hoping to do with our lives, and you're sort of at that place in your life where you're beginning to make big decisions. And he said how sorry he felt for some other Christians that we knew in the place where we grew up who worked in a family business. Because, he said, they were born in one place, they would work in the same place, and they would die in that place. And they would only know their family and their church and their employees and their neighbors and their friends. And they would really never expand their circle beyond that number. To really grow as a person, my friend reasoned, you need to travel the world, you need to meet new people, and you need to learn new things. Now, I haven't learned a lot of things in my life, but there have been a few. In the short 11 years that Katie and I have been married, we've lived in St. Catharines, Ontario, St. Louis, Missouri, Miramichi, New Brunswick, and Edmonton, Alberta. One of the things I've learned is that moving all over the place is not all it's cracked up to be. And the other is this. With this prayer of Jesus and this teaching of Paul, the most important prayer we can pray isn't about where we'll live next or how we can do something extraordinary or what adventure we'll embark on next. God may give you movement or the extraordinary or adventure, but He may not. The most important prayer is to ask that I glorify God with whoever I am and wherever I am right now. With that prayer, the rooted native son glorifies God just as much as the world traveler. The people who bring me this concern the most, this lack of a feeling of doing something important, of not really glorifying God with their lives, the people that bring me this concern the most, and I must be honest, it surprises me, but the people who bring that feeling to me the most are homemaking moms. The world around them tells them that raising their own children and not being in the workplace is a waste. And we in the church have not always done a good job of letting them know that what they do is important, God-glorifying, life-shaping, and often thankless work. And glorifying God is as simple as obeying Him and working hard in the station that He's given you. And with that in mind, this is always a meaningful prayer. Father, let me glorify You. No matter what my circumstance is right now, no matter how big and flashy or how day in, day out, boring and monotonous and all the rest of it, your life is, no matter where on that spectrum it falls, to glorify God is to work in whatever place we find ourselves as though for Him. To be obedient to Him in whatever we do and wherever it is. To seek to show His love and His grace, His truth to those that we come in contact with, whoever they are. It's always a meaningful prayer. Father, let me glorify You. And I expect that over time, such a prayer would go to work on our discontent or on our bitterness, if it's there, about where we are, and perhaps our life is not exactly where we planned it would be at 30 or 40 or 50 when we were 18, 19, or 20. But that's okay, because life is not ultimately about the adventure that we put ourselves on through it, but it's about the glory that we bring to God through it. And sometimes that's a radical reorienting of our priorities, to begin to pray that prayer. So if we don't, let's start. The other thing that Jesus' prayer shows us is the dependence of prayer. The dependence of prayer. Jesus says that God has given Him authority over all flesh, over all living things, and that God has given Him the work that He came to do, which includes redeeming a people for Himself. It's a kind of a big deal. Yet, He also has to go to His Father to ask that God would be glorified, and later to pray that He would keep Jesus' disciples in the truth, and that they might be unified in love for each other and in their proclamation of Jesus. Jesus is the all-powerful Son of God, yet He must come to His Father and ask for Him to bless everything that He has done. And this is a good reminder for us too, that whether our work is in the church or outside of it, no matter, that we can easily apply ourselves to what we are doing, believing that we are working for God's glory, believing that we are sharing His love with others simply in the way that we engage with them, and we forget to ask God to bless all of that. We forget that it's not all just on our shoulders, but especially if we're thinking about things like imparting faith to others, inviting others to believe in Jesus. I mean, just this evening we were praying for families and raising their children to know and love the Lord, and that is a big deal for all those who are currently raising children or have raised their children. And yet, I mean, even the very best work that any fallen, imperfect parent could do in that, it needs to come along with praying that God will bless
that work, praying that God will water the seed that is planted in the hearts of any person, including our children. And so if Jesus is so dependent on his Father and on the work of the Holy Spirit in his prayer, then we need to be too. And I'm going to read for you a good reminder on this, just because he says it better than I ever would. I've used this book on and off as we've gone through this series. It's called The Heart of Prayer. It's by Jerome Bars, who was a professor of mine, and who some of you had the opportunity to hear speak about 3 or 4 years ago in Canmore. But on this, and on Jesus' prayer here, he says this. We need to ask, who is this one who does not assume that his work and his teaching will be effective? Who is this one who acknowledges the need of the Father to ensure that his work and word will accomplish their purposes? He is none other than the Son of God, the eternal second person of the Trinity, the righteous one, the one who always does his Father's will. The one who prays this prayer of humble dependence is not someone weak and disobedient to his Father's commandments, someone like you or me. The one who prays this prayer is not someone whose work is half-heartedly accomplished, someone like you or me. Nor is the one who prays this prayer someone whose work is done with mixed and confused motivations, someone like you or me. The one who prays this prayer is not someone whose teaching varies in its faithfulness and value, someone like you or me when we teach. Rather, the one who prays this prayer is Jesus. The one who prays this prayer is one whose teaching and work is always good, is always faithful, and is always true. This was so through all his years as a laborer at carpentry, when we can be sure he demonstrated the same dependence on his Father. And it was so in his years of public ministry. Jesus is showing us in the clearest possible way that our work in God's kingdom will be ineffective without our prayer for the Father to accomplish his purposes through his blessing on all we do. He is showing us that our attempts to teach the word will fail unless we pray that the Father send the Spirit to render them powerful and effective. As will our teaching of our young children at home, our teaching in our churches or any other kind of teaching ministry, our leading of worship, our music and our singing, our visiting, our serving, and our hospitality. By the example of his high priestly prayer, Jesus is teaching us that in all the things we do, it is not enough to be busy for the Lord, not enough to be active in doing his work, not enough to be committed to teaching his word. In addition to the work we do, we are always to beg the Lord to do his work in people's hearts and minds. For without his work, without his blessing, all our labors will be in vain. Here we find what needs to stand at the center of all of our prayer: a desire for the Father's glory through us, and a request for the Father's help. Let's pray. Our Father, be glorified through us. Be glorified in this church, in this body of your people. Be glorified in our families through the way that we relate to each other with forgiveness and with grace and with understanding. Be glorified in each of our lives to do the work that you have given us joyfully, industriously, and with love and concern for all of those that you bring us into contact with. Our Father, as we preach and teach the word of Jesus in this church, in our homes, in our conversations with those who do not know you, as we give answers for the hope that is in us, be glorified. And we pray that you would bless it with the work of your Holy Spirit. For nothing that we do can come to fruition apart from your miraculous work alongside us. So teach us to be humble, to pray for your glory, and to pray for your work, for ours is meaningless and ineffective apart from the work of the Holy Spirit. May He be with us, and may His power be evident in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.